T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We don't have a theme. So your artist of the day is James Brown.
James Brown.
Why'd you assume theme?
Movie song.
Yeah, I mean, this is from the Rocky IV soundtrack. I thought maybe we were doing Rocky songs today or something. I don't know.
Did you want a Rocky soundtrack day?
That would be a really good theme. Big hits from Rocky.
8, 9, and 10. How many Rocky movies did
they make? Right away.
Well, there were 6 Rockies.
Oh, good.
If you include Balboa, there's about to be a second Creed. Have you seen the previews for this new Creed coming out? Is that you, by the way, on the trailer?
Oh, I don't think so.
In a world.
No, I didn't do Creed. I did actually some of the original Creed, not the sequel.
So you did the trailer for the original Creed?
Well, one of them. I mean, there's 20 of them.
That's fine.
But yeah, no, I did actually do one of those.
What did you say?
Oh, I have no idea. It was 3 years ago or 2 years ago. I don't remember what I had for lunch.
The son of his best friend.
When his friend died, he left behind the legacy that has returned to claim his rightful place in the ring of history.
Something like that. I don't know. I'm just making it up. I'm not a writer. I read other people's work. That's why I don't write anything.
Tom Kane in today for Dana Wright. Good to have you with us, my friend.
My pleasure.
Always good to see your face.
Sounds like Dana's going to get hit by a hurricane.
Oh.
Wait, where is she?
She's in Hawaii right now.
Time out. What'd you say, Rod?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad Tom's here. I've been working on my In a World.
Oh.
So I want to lay it on. Ooh, you. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
In a world ruled by dance, the man with one leg stands alone.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad. Could use just a little bit more bass.
I'm working on it.
A little reverb.
We'll talk later. Give me an hour. give me an hour with you later, I think an hour is all we need, and I'll have you read and copy.
The sad thing for Rod is we all focused on his voice and not what he was really saying.
No, it was funny.
One-legged man stands alone. Anyway, what were you saying, Kara?
Oh, I said Dana's going to get hit by a hurricane.
Yes. Now, is it a hurricane if it's in the Pacific, or is it a typhoon?
Well, it is a hurricane according to the National Hurricane Center.
Okay.
See, I was actually going to go on this cruise with her.
Right.
Not her and I together. My wife and I. Years ago. And I
shovel?
Yeah, isn't that where... Isn't that, she's on a cruise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I'm asking, do you need a shovel?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because it sounds like you're digging.
No. But we had a family thing that came up, so it never happened. But now I realize what it was this weekend. So.
Yeah.
So Hawaii's going to get hit by hurricane?
Hurricane Olivia is barreling toward Hawaii. It's a Cat 1.
All right.
So
okay,
she'll be fine.
Okay. All right.
What?
It's the second time I've heard that today. It drives me insane when people abbreviate the word category with cat. And I heard Weinbaum do it earlier today when he was talking about Hurricane Florence. And he goes, Hurricane Florence is now Cat 4. And then you just said Cat 1.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a time. It was during, it was Katrina that hit New Orleans back in, 2000?
3 years of it.
Yeah, it's been a
while. Was it 2006? Five, 2005. Right. I'll never forget. We all knew it was going up the Gulf. It was headed towards New Orleans. It was not looking good. We ended up sending reporters down there to help our sister stations in New Orleans. But our program director at the time, a guy named Neil Larimore, came running out of the of his office into the newsroom and screamed, "Katrina's now a Cat 5 Kane!" And from that day forward,
I never
saw somebody so happy to preview, and this is allegedly, to preview death on others in a news story. And when he came out and goes, "Katrina's now a Cat 5 Kane," I thought, I'm in the wrong business. This guy is thrilled that this hurricane is now a Category 5 hurricane and is barreling towards the United States, and undoubtedly people are going to die. And I had to sit back in my seat, and I'm like, what kind of business am I in where this is okay?
Dude, I was the voice of hard copy for 10 years. I cannot tell you how many times that would happen. Some horrendous piece of news would break, and the whole freaking place would go, "Yes, we got our lead for the, woo-hoo, they found the dead baby."
Oh, my God, Tom.
On the next hard copy, "We found the dead baby. The corks are popping, and our ratings are going through the roof. On the next hard copy." "It's Michael Jackson's weirdest stunt yet, trying to convince the world he's an ordinary guy. On the next hard copy." That was an actual... And the OJ investigation continues.
Oh, were you on hard copy when they were doing OJ?
Oh, I did all that. The old, yeah. Now I...
Did you, like, cringe sometimes when the copy would come in?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like,
I cringed at my delivery. On the next hard copy. I mean, it was pretty bad. But
like this Cat 4 Kane, this Florence.
Oh, see, that part kills me. The Kane. Nothing to do with my last name. It's just that abbreviation. The cat I can live with. But the guy said, he actually said it's a Cat 5 Kane.
No, he came in, he ran out of his office, and he goes, "Katrina's now a Cat 5 Kane."
Oh, that's like it's now an F4 NATO.
And I remember thinking,
from the
it's
text
an
line,
F1 NATO.
Abbreviation, says the man who went to TNC.
Well, I did go to TNC with Rod and my mother, and we had a wonderful time.
And what was Artist of the Art?
AOTD?
Yeah,
Artist
AOTD.
Of the Day.
Yeah.
That's James Brown.
Oh, God.
I will say, our former boss, Neil, is also the only person I've ever worked with in radio that still called headphones cans.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He'd be like, "I need a pair of cans right away." I'm like, okay, dude.
"I need a pair of cans." That sounds dirty.
It does. We all need that, sir.
I actually went out. I actually went out on Friday and Saturday night. Some people flew in from some voiceover guys, mostly trailer guys, came in. Trailer trash folk. the guy that put kind of the get together, it was his birthday. His name was Doug Medlock. And it turns out.
Oh, I know Doug Medlock.
Yeah, he was KY102.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was that guy. And I know him peripherally, and you know, we went out for his birthday on Friday, and then we went out again Saturday, and a bunch of us, and that. But they played at Knuckleheads, and they all had KY102 shirts on, and all of a sudden I put it all together. I'm like going, oh, I get it. But it was really great. There was a bunch of old KY102.
Now wait a minute. Now when you have a get together with a bunch of trailer guys, right? You'll forgive me.
Yeah.
It almost sounds comically ridiculous.
It can be.
I mean, does everybody sit around and go, "I'll take a beer"?
Well, they don't. It's not really on purpose.
"Menu, please."
It's not really on purpose, but most. And I've told
you guys
you,
have
I've
like
told you, I've told
you have
this
like
before.
A voice off.
No, God. Well, that not that I will participate in. No,
you
that,
just did it.
Not that, that I would participate in. I wouldn't lower myself.
No, they don't do it on purpose. But most trailer, you know, like, to me, I've talked about this on the air with you guys. To me, everything's a put on. Every voice I do is a character voice. I don't sound like a trailer guy. I'm quote unquote, I'm doing a trailer guy. You know, to me, that's a character voice. Most trailer guys, though, that's them. They're all former FM jocks. That smoke like locomotives and drink too much, and they've got pipes of steel. And, you know, if you just say, hey, how you doing? You're going to get a, "I'm fine." Yeah, exactly. How you doing?
In a world.
So you do, when you do get a group of these guys together, it is exactly like that. The, you know, the waitress is like taking orders, like, I'll have a boulevard of wheat. And the other guy's like, I'll have a rum and Diet Coke. And the other guy's like, yeah, I'll just have a tea.
Like, is it a competition?
No, it's just that's the way they sound. They're not trying to outdo each other. Oh, it's just the way they sound.
Medlock, I heard you order. Hang on, watch this.
Year 2017.
In a time of tradition.
In a city where anything can happen.
That's all the dog.
Is that what happens?
Kind of, yeah. But no, they were a wonderful group of people. I knew a few of them, and I knew a few I did not know. But
do you like super cap your tea at the end, too? I'll take a boulevard wheat.
I just picture these guys at a Denny's going, I'll have the salad with no cucumbers.
I want Thousand Island on the side.
What's the house? Do you have to, like, on your S's, like, drag those out, too?
I don't know. I did. I must. That's the silliest session I ever did. I did 19 commercials for Texaco for something a million years ago. And the take that they wanted, for some reason, I didn't put a T on the end of something. I had to come back in the recording studio, and I literally read the word, whatever, that, or whatever, three times. That went, that, that, that. And by the time I stood up and walked out, the guy had already cut it in. And I'm like, oh, great, cool. So it was easy session. So I got paid at that point several hundred dollars to go T. And he actually did. That's all he took was a T off of one of my things and put it on. But here's the thing that was a ridiculous thing. Because it was a union job, and they put that T on 19 spots. I got paid another 19 session fees for T.
Dude.
for T. And I actually said, I felt guilty. I said to the ad agency people, I'm like, oh, come on, that's not right. And they looked at me, they said, it's Texaco. It's an oil company. We'll just let this one go. It's good.
War that isn't his. Every day in New York City. On the Miami Police Force. In the deep south. From the sewers of Gotham. From the rooftops of Gotham. Above Gotham. Within this skyscraper high above the city. In a town.
The band was called Kix, K-I-X. The song was released in 1988. It's not even a Tuesday yet. Tom Kane in today for Dana Wright. She is awaiting a hurricane to hit the Hawaiian Islands. Story here.
It's a Cat 1 Kane.
It's a Cat 1 Kane. Menu, please. story here. Let me read you the headline first, and then I'll read a little bit of the story. It's from the Kansas City Star. Rockhurst High used to paddle students, alum says. He now demands an apology. Kelly Gerling says he was a Rockhurst High School freshman when he was called to school on a Saturday to work off a discipline demerit by fighting another student. It was the 1967-1968 school year, and Vice Principal Ron Windmuller brought Gerling and another student down into the school basement to receive their jug, or justice under God. Hmm. There, Gerling says, the boys were required to wrestle as Mueller shouted, hit him, hit him. Quoting here from Gerling, who wrote in a letter to a former Rockhurst High president, I can still vividly recall the pain when my fellow student stuck his fingers into the indentations under my ears. the extreme fatigue, the anger at the situation, the humiliating helplessness, the fear of severe injury, neither of us having any other choice under the circumstances but to do as Brother Windmuller ordered. Gerling, who is now 64 years old, knows that Rockhurst has long abandoned any form of corporal punishment. Paddling, swatting students with sticks, physical intimidation, he says he experienced as a 14-year-old. Any statute of limitations, of course, has long expired. But as the Roman Catholic Church finds itself mired in clerical sexual abuse scandals, once again navigating how to publicly apologize and to address its failure to protect young and vulnerable people, Gerling wants his alma mater to lead the way in formally renouncing a history of harmful discipline practice that were not covert transgressions, but an established part of the school culture, including the swatting and the forced wrestling back in the 1960s.
God, that sounds creepy. I mean, all it's lacking, you know, down in the basement, 14-year-old boys have to wrestle, and what? Did you leave out the baby oil element? Or?
I didn't see anything.
No, I mean Jello. That's wow. That's layers of weird.
Should Rockhurst apologize?
Well, Rockhurst, quote unquote, didn't do it. You know, Rockhurst is a building, but I guess, I mean, that seems to be the thing nowadays is, you know, people who were children at the time this stuff happened are apologizing for things that were done by people, you know, before they were born in some cases. So
Gerling went on to tell the Star that coach, this is his allegation, not mine, Coach Al Davis lined up freshman football players and swatted them on their rear ends with a stick. At least four times, Vice Principal Windmuller took Gerling into his office where he would strike his buttocks with a paddle several times. The pain, according to Gerling, was excruciating. Another time, Windmuller put Gerling's head into a headlock and slammed it into a locker in the hall outside of his office. Now, I'm not defending any of this. The swatting I can kind of let go only because I grew up in Texas and that was par for the course down there. If you didn't get swatted, you didn't go to school in Texas. The forced wrestling, the slamming a kid into a locker is not acceptable, nor is it excusable. However, and there's always a but here.
Two in this case.
With all due respect to Mr. Gerling, this was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, there comes a time where you have to let it go. Am I wrong? I mean, I can still remember. I was only swatted once going to school in Texas, which is to say I was a pretty well-behaved student. But I can still remember the name, the grade, and the school of the woman, the place, and the time when I was swatted. Mrs. Wilkinson, 5th grade, Meadows Elementary School, Fort Hood, Texas. Right off Tank Destroyer Boulevard. I still remember that swatting.
Well, you know.
But I would never demand Mrs. Wilkinson apologize to me.
Well, it's been 40 years, time to move on. For the guy, yeah, I mean, if he was that negatively affected by that, well, you know, fine. He doesn't need to let it go, in my opinion. He can be just as upset about it today as he was back then. But taking it to this point where he's asking for this, that I think, yeah, that he needs to let go.
576-7798. We've all had bad things happen to us. Let's take this out of the realm of the teacher. Put this in the realm of your high school bully, your elementary school bully. Dana, who I know is not here to comment on this, I understand that, but I've talked to her about it enough to remember it. Dana has never forgiven nor forgotten the three girls who bullied her on the school bus when she was in middle school and has said horrible things off the air about these three women, wishing not pleasant things on them. Is it that hard to let go of something that happened 30 years ago, maybe for some of you 20 years ago, maybe in the case of Mr. Gerling here in the Star story, 50 years ago? 576-7798, 576-7798. 7798. Tom Kane in for Dana Wright. Let's get to the newsroom and Kara Marks.
Evacuations ordered as Hurricane Florence takes aim at the U.S. More next.
Lonely feeling deep inside. Find a corner where I can hide. Silent footsteps.
Guess who?
Crowding me.
On a gorgeous, by the way, Monday afternoon in Kansas City. 576-7798 if you guys want to weigh in. Talking about the story, Tom Kane, by the way, in for Dana Wright today. She's in Hawaii. She returns next week. Michael Mackey coming your way at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Tom Kane with us still four. Story here from the Kansas City Star, and it features a guy, and I'd love to hear from him if he's listening or if somebody knows him and can get in touch with him. I'm not disparaging him, and I'm not cutting him down, but it features a guy named Kelly Gerling, who attended Rockhurst High School in the late 1960s. And Kelly Gerling was, what's the word I'm looking for here, subjected to forms of punishment that probably seemed semi-okay back then, that we would look back on now in 2018 and go, that, you know, that just wasn't okay. And at Rockhurst, one of those was a trip to school on a Saturday morning where he was taken down into a basement and given the jug, the justice of under God, which required him to wrestle under the supervision of one of the school administrators at Rockhurst, allegedly, another student, to where the school administrator was screaming, "Hit him! Hit him!" There were also allegations from Mr. Gerling, who is now 64 years old, that he was swatted at school. Not necessarily uncommon back in those days. For those of you who don't know what swatting is, it's a paddling, a school administrator paddling, and still goes on in Texas, and definitely, I can attest in person, went on in Texas in the 1980s. It was not uncommon to sit in class, even if you were not the subject of it, and hear from down the hall.
Ow.
Mr. Herford. 576-7798. I'm not saying that what Mr. Gerling went through was right, especially looking back from a 2018 prism. What I'm curious about, because Mr. Gerling wants an apology, is why is it that there are some things that we can't let go? Dana's a prime example. I mentioned this before the break. She can still remember the full names of her three bullies in middle school and still wishes nothing but bad things on them. Were you bullied?
No, because I was always the big kid. You know, I'm 6'5", and I used to be much heavier. So, you know, it was like Rod has talked about that before but as well. You know, when you're a foot taller and 50 pounds heavier, even though you're, in my case, a big wussy, they didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So they left me alone. But one time where there were three kids under one ringleader that did something pretty not too nice, locked me in we had a paper drive at school, and I was loading papers and a thing, and they thought it'd be funny to lock me in there and just right away. Well, the problem was is it was Kansas, and it was summertime, and it was about 100, and you know, I had someone not heard me pounding an hour later, I very likely could have died in that thing, because it was ridiculous.
It got hot.
Yeah. But that's the only time anybody bullied me, and I went to where this young man was having his football practice and walked up and pulled his helmet off, and I punched him in the face. And the coach and his coach, my dad was standing there, who was 6'4", former Marine, drill sergeant, and the coach came up and said, "What's going on here?" My dad turned around and looked at him and said, "This is between them. If you don't want it to be between them, it's going to be between us."
Oh, my. Dad.
And the guy was, okay. That was it. That was the only time I ever hit anybody in anger. It was it. But
576-7798. Phil in Kansas City. Phil, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
back around 1970 era, I went to an all-boys parochial high school in Kansas City. It was very similar to Rockers, okay? And we had brothers, Christian brothers, and lay teachers there. Now, if somebody got out of line, it was not uncommon for a brother teacher to take you out in the hallway and smack you around and throw you into the locker a few times. But back then, you laughed about it. You forgot about it. If you went home and told your parents, they said, would tell you, what did you do to deserve that? It wasn't like it is now, going to call the police, going to get somebody suspended. It was a different day and age back then, and it was common. And we all, you know, you laughed about it and just moved on and forgot about it. It was no big deal. It was just like I say, it was all part of high school and all boys school back in those day and age. I mean, there were kids that were ornery, and, you know, they got disciplined for it. But like I say, it was not the big deal like it is now, that's for sure. And it was pretty calm.
Were you ever paddled?
No, not I never was, but I know students that were, and it was nothing. It was just like you laughed about it afterwards, you moved on, you take your lumps, and you just moved on. It was no big deal, really, back in that day and age.
Wait. Should we have it today, then, if it was no big deal?
Well, it's a different day and age, obviously. I mean, now you do that sort of thing, you know, it'll be on the news, the police will arrest you, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It's just a different age. It doesn't happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen totally, but it's just not the same day and age that it was back around 1970 when I think discipline was more common amongst young people, say, than it is today with the way things are in general.
But Phil, one thing you may not realize, and I understand what you're saying, and you make some interesting points. Swatting, and I've looked it up, and unless it's changed or unless I'm mistaken, swatting is still technically legal, although rarely practiced in the states of Kansas and Missouri.
Well, that
it has not been prohibited.
And if it does, it may be occurring in a small town in a rural setting. I think most big city school districts don't have that sort of thing. But, yeah, you know, times have changed, and the mores and social codes have changed as well with it. And this is the day and age we live in where, you know, schools cannot physically discipline kids without causing a big uproar amongst parents, amongst law enforcement, this and that. But back then, it was just like I say, you just shrugged it off and moved on with your life and forgot about it.
But all right, do you have young children, or do you have children still in school?
No, I sure don't.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you did, Tom, I want to get you in here too, because I know you have children who are still school age. This was not an uncommon practice when we were younger, and we just kind of went with the flow. Rod, you're welcome to weigh in, too. Let's take a four-way vote here. This was not uncommon, at least in the South, for swatting or paddling, whatever you want to call it, in school. However, even though it's still technically legal today, if your school sent home a permission slip for your school-age child to be susceptible to swatting if the administration deemed it necessary, would you sign off on it? Phil, you go first.
Would I sign off on it?
Yes.
I probably would.
Okay.
I
mean, you don't have to explain it. No, I'm just looking for a vote. Yes for you, Rod.
Oh, yeah, I'd sign off on it.
Tom?
No.
I would not either. And maybe it's because I have two daughters. If I had a son, I might think differently. I would not. And I have been swatted in public school, Mrs. Wilkinson. I have been swatted. And it was, you're right, Phil, it was normal back then. And nobody thought twice about it.
See, it wasn't here.
No.
I grew up in the Shawnee Mission School District, you know, from in the 60s and 70s, and I went to Somerset Elementary School over on Blinder, which is now gone. But Mr. Veets,
where'd you go to high school?
South.
Okay.
He had a paddle on the wall, and everybody knew it was there. But I don't recall it ever coming off the wall, and I was in that office a lot. I was the kid that in first grade, Mrs. Arnold used to tie me to my chair with jump ropes because I you know, was the poster child for ADD back before there was a name for that. But I drove my teachers batty, and I spent a lot of time in the office, and I saw that paddle, and I looked at it, but he never did it.
Were there holes in it?
I know.
Then he wasn't serious.
It was engraved. It had something on it.
If there aren't, Rod, you know this as well as I do. If there are not holes in the paddle, they're not serious about using it. Am I right or am I wrong? Cuts back on the wind resistance.
Ouch.
Gene, Marion, Jim, you guys hang tight. You're next here on Dana and Parks.
Kansas City's 98.1 FM. KMBZ.
Call anybody good. Going back to Memphis.
Gene in Raytown. Hello, Gene.
Hi there, my brothers and sisters.
Hello, our sister.
I just want to say that, you know, I went to school back in the 60s, and I was taught by Benedictines for 8 years, and they were nuns. And so really, you had to be afraid of the nuns more so than the priests.
Not if you're a boy.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
No, because like the nun, I mean, I remember one time, I mean, swatting happened at the school. It wasn't often, but occasionally, you know, boys that got out of control, the nuns would do it. They go to the principal's office. But one time I remember this nun was so frustrated with this kid. You remember those old metal trash cans that you had in the lunchroom that were tall? They seemed tall when you were a kid. She picked him up and turned him upside down and put him in the
Did you ever get your knuckles wrapped?
No, I didn't. I was really fearful of them, and I had really a lot of respect. So I didn't cross those lines, you know, because I was smarter than I looked.
You know, Gene, let me just tell you very quickly. And I only knew her in passing. My mother's mother, so it which is to say my maternal grandmother, was left-handed as a child, and went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And they would wrap her knuckles until she would start writing right-handed.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I've heard of that. I'm left-handed. They tried, but not using corporal punishment, but it wouldn't work for me, so they gave up. You know, I think when you swat a child, you are supposed to apply it with love. Therefore, a parent, really only a parent can do that, because I don't think a source outside of a parent can actually do that. And with regards to the guy who's making the complaint, and I can understand, because that sounds pretty horrible. I mean,
it does. It does. I would imagine it was very traumatic. But my only argument, though, Gene and Tom, in this whole story is, it's been 50 years. At some point, I mean, this was obviously a traumatic wrestling match. I can remember Chuck Sample at Tonganoxie trying to remove my genitalia from my body at a high school football game. But I'm not looking for Chuck Sample to apologize to me 30 years later. Do you understand?
I do. But see, and what's funny is this guy's a psychologist. Did you know that? So he needs to apply. What is he getting paid for?
Physician, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself.
Well, it is that way. Sometimes when you are hit or you suffer something physically like that, because I was abused in another way as a child, and I had to get over it. I mean, and if I have to deal with it today, I continue to have to deal with it. I don't ask people for apologies. But it does leave this indelible mark kind of in your soul, in a way, in that It's like it's stuck in your, it's stuck in the memory in your body, and it affects how you are. And so it's your own, it's like it's a personal healing path that you'll be walking through in your life. It's the past. It's part of your history, and that's probably part of what made him a psychologist.
All right. Hey, real quick, Jim calling in from out in the country. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Sal, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, you were talking about this stuff. Punishment and stuff. When I'm 53, and when we went to school, we would take the swattings because it was better to take the swattings at school and have it over and done with than rather than your parents finding out when you got home.
I will tell you this, to your point, yes. I would have rather had a whipping from Mrs. Wilkinson one time than face my father and my mother at home. By the way, I was an adult when I told my mother about my swatting in fifth grade. I was so embarrassed and petrified because of it. I was an adult before I finally fessed that one up.
It was just this weekend, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Well, 2 weekends ago.
Okay. Yes.
It was very cathartic. Lots of tears.
Newsroom Kara Markser.
Happening now on KMBZ. Secretaries of State from across the country are in Missouri today to talk about election security. We'll have more next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.